Hey everyone, welcome to Garden Fork Radio. You're here with Rick and Eric. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Eric. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I slept like 10 hours last night, so it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, I for some reason, I didn't sleep very well the night before. And then last night, boy, I went to bed early and I stayed in bed. In fact, I had set an alarm to get up, come talk to you.
Yay. Everyone, this is your first time here. Garden Fork is a very eclectic, casual conversation about DIY, geeky stuff, gardening, home improvement, and whatever else comes into our email inbox from people to talk about. So welcome. I hope you all like it. There's a pause. There's an awkward pause.
a pregnant pause. I wasn't quite expecting that. Yeah, I'm really glad you folks are here today. I'm glad to be here. Eric especially is glad to be here. You had some interesting times over the last little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I had it's nominally called the stomach flu. Which is what the doctors call us. I think they call it a severe gastrointestinal event.
Well, you know, you've been wanting to lose weight.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to do it. Just, I still really don't want to eat that much. Two weeks later, and I'm still like, there's a bunch of foods I don't want to eat. I haven't had any alcohol. I'm just like, okay, let's just take it easy there. So,
well, your life's not worth living, is it? No food, no booze.
Well, interestingly enough, the New York Times wrote an article just after I was sick. So I'm laying in bed reading about being sick with what I call the stomach flu. But it's called "What to Blame for Your Stomach Bug: Not Always the Last Thing You Ate." And I'll link to it in the show notes here. But you can just go to NewYorkTimes.com and type in "stomach bug." And this article will come up, but it's not you. It's usually not the last thing you ate. It's usually a couple of meals before that, or it could have been something you touched with your hands and then touched your food.
I was going to say more than likely it would be the last thing you touched instead of the last thing you ate.
Cause the night before I had gone to a friend's birthday party at a little, like a little bar, cafe, you know, New York-y, restaurant-y place, you know. And they had cheese and cured meat platter out. And I'm like, oh, this is really good, you know. And then I got sick the next morning, and I'm wondering, was it the cheeses? Was it the cured meats? No, it was probably something from several meals ago. And it depends on if you're just throwing up. It's something you ate fairly recently. If you're throwing up and you have diarrhea, it's something from maybe a day ago, because the virus or bacteria or whatever it is that's causing this bad event to happen has had time to ferment in your gut. So the farther it is down in your intestinal tract, the longer of time elapsed between you ate and got sick. So
yeah. Just pushing that rat through the python.
Thank you, Rick. Gatorade, it's just, you just stay hydrated as best you can with Gatorade or ginger ale works for some people.
You know, it's really a shame, but in a lot of the third world, people literally just kind of crap themselves to death because they don't know or don't have the ability to replace the three things you really need: fluids and electrolytes. And the electrolytes break down to salt and sugar. Yep. And with a little bit of salty, sugary water, most people in the world could be saved. And that's kind of sad when you think about it.
Well, if people actually want to make a difference in the world, you can work to provide clean water and sewage to the rest of the world. And you'll save thousands of lives.
You know, I contribute frequently to an outfit called Friendly Water for the World. And they go and build these sand. Well, they don't build them. They teach the locals to build them. One sheet of plywood that you cut up to use as a form. And you pour this sand filter out of concrete, and then you fill it with sand. And it removes almost 100% of the water that's filtered through it, and or not the water, but
the bad
bacteria
stuff.
And all the stuff that's in the water. It removes it and makes it drinkable, And the filter lasts forever, and they teach two or three people in the village or wherever they go how to build these things, give them the plans, give them the money for the concrete and whatnot, and they build their own. And then they go around teaching every family in the village how to build their own. And that's, you know, that's half of it. The other half is waste disposal, which is a major problem. Bill and Melinda Gates have a major project just on trying to provide better waste disposal for people in third world countries and rural areas, because that is the major source of disease and of unwellness for them.
If you want to learn more, I don't know if this is the Bill Gates charity, but there is a charity called water.org, water.org, and they're all about... Their tagline is water.org empowers families with access to safe water and sanitation through affordable financing. So looks like they help people get water and then have clean sanitation. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. It's, you know, this country actually, it's been estimated at the time of the founders and Thomas Jefferson up to just about Boston and a little below or a little above it, maybe. Every person in this country had some form of malaria. Some of them have died out now, the forms of malaria, but had some forms of malaria due to our inability to properly drain the nation. And the greatest public health thing we ever did was channelize and remove swamps and get rid of flooding. Of course, then we had the problem with DDT, which was really a way to control mosquitoes is what they're after.
Right.
But we channelized our way into good public health in this country.
Yay.
Yay. So we poured a lot of concrete to get that done.
So there you go. A little bit of a background in Eric's acute gastrointestinal event.
Well, I'm glad you're well. So I had one of those once. I thought I was going to die, and then after about the third day, I was afraid I would not die. So, you know, they can be pretty severe. Let's move on to something interesting. That was a kind of fail, just an eating fail. How about your videos lately? You had fails and successes in the garden. I like that one.
Yeah, instead of calling it a garden tour, I thought I'd call it fails and successes too, because that's really what it was, is we walked through and saw what worked and what didn't, and a lot of stuff didn't work, but my successes are sunflowers and sugar snap peas. So
that's great. You know, I'm a big fan of a podcast called The Thomas Jefferson Hour, and Clay Jenkinson, the man who, he's what they call an Algonquin recreator. And I could give you the whole history of the Algonquin movement. It starts up in your part of the country, but he goes around the country, dresses up as Jefferson. He's a Jefferson scholar, and he lives in North Dakota, but he applies Jeffersonian gardening and whatnot to his place. It's just like kind of like going to Monticello, a very mini Monticello, really. But one of the things Jefferson said is one of the great joys of gardening, and I'm paraphrasing, but is that when during the year one thing will succeed and another thing will fail, and the next year it'll be the thing that succeeded that fails. So there's all, if you plant diversely in your garden, you know, you always have successes, and you know, it's he just loved being a gardener.
Yeah, I love it. I just sometimes it gets away from me because you only have, you know, have some time in the weekend to tend to that. But the biggest issue for me was I got some garden soil compost mix from a neighbor, and boy,
you got skunked.
Boy, it was full of weed seeds. It was just like, so, sometimes free isn't free, you know?
Yeah, well, it didn't quite get hot enough, did it?
No.
Yeah.
What I should do with that is just put black plastic over it and let
and
it
solarize
bake out.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know, go ahead.
You had an impressive garden of weeds.
Yeah. And I bought some mustards, different mustards as transplants, and I planted them, and they bolted almost immediately. It was just interesting. I guess they were stressed out in the little transplant packs maybe, but the mustards that I planted from seed did much better. Mm. But we had a little hot heat wave here, and anything that was a cool season crop just went boom and bolted right away.
Oh yeah. It's pretty bad. I planted a bunch of basil from seed, and I got it going in my grow tent and everything. And I was way too early, and it came up and bolted almost immediately itself. And so I have to go now buy some basil at the store and put some more in.
Yeah, my basil has a bunch of aphids on it, so I went and got some epirithrin-based spray. Because just washing it with water just doesn't seem to work. So I got to kind of step up a level there.
Yeah. Basil is so, you can knock the aphids off with a stream of hose water if it's a fairly sturdy plant. But basil is so tender that you'll rip it up with the hose, with the water.
Speaking of hoses, I fired up my power washer. I washed the back of our house the other day. It's the shady side of the house, and it had mold and some lichen on it. And I haven't done it in 10 years, and I should probably do it every 2 years. So,
which power washer do you use?
The Troy built power washer, of course.
Oh, is this the one that has the power head that separates the washer off, and then you can add other things to it?
Right. It's like, it's a power unit. By the way, Troy built's a sponsor, Garden Fork, everyone. I don't know if everyone knows what a Gravely is, but a Gravely was similar to this. It's an engine with two power wheels and then two different PTOs coming out the front, two different gears to snap in the different accessories you clip on the front, and one is a power washer.
Yeah. But when you said PTO, it's power takeoff, just so.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
No problem.
But the what I discovered was you cannot power wash one on a ladder. And I'm like, you climb the ladder, and then you hit the trigger on the pressure washer, and you can feel yourself being pushed off the ladder, you know?
Wow.
So, and I have a fairly, the back of the house, the land slopes away from the house, so it's a long reach. And I actually spent $140 on a pressure washer extension wand, which goes up 18 feet. And that worked beautifully. And I figured, if I hired someone to pressure wash the house, it would be more than $140. So I'll buy the wand and I'll be able to wash the house, a bunch of times and save some money. But boy, did that make a difference. So stay off the ladder. And my other reasoning was a trip to the emergency room is at least $300.
So at least.
The pressure washer extension wand was $140. Not cheap, but it made it much easier. And you can also clean your gutters with it. So
right, yeah. Well, and here I think it was 2 years ago we had an epidemic of men falling off ladders in my neighborhood, and I think three went off in the same month. And so and both of them, all of them were fairly old, so something broke every time they hit the ground.
Yeah.
And you're reaching your dotage now, and so probably you need to stay off ladders as well.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed your because it's such a foreign concept to me, but your mushroom, how to grow mushrooms on a log.
Yeah, that's going. We haven't had any mushrooms yet. It takes a little bit of time for the spore to travel through the logs, but it was a lot of fun to do. But if you want to, basically, I bought the spore that is inoculated into wooden round furniture dowels that are used for furniture making.
Mm-hmm.
But you drill a lot of holes, so.
Well, yeah, when you're talking about, each package contained about 300, right?
No, there's 100 dowels per package, and I had three packages.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's quite a lot of holes.
Yeah.
And then you had to pound them in with a mallet, mm-hmm. and cover them with beeswax.
Beeswax or soy wax, a food-grade soy wax, which is actually much easier to use. I tried both of them.
Really? Wow.
To me, beeswax is too valuable.
Yeah, no kidding. We had our annual extractaganza yesterday at the Beekeepers Guild of Southeast Virginia. And we have a hall we all go to, and we tape the floor down, plastic all through the floors. And the guild has part of the benefits of being in the guild is we've got four extractors and four decapping tanks and all the equipment you need. And you can borrow it individually, but we bring it all together at one time. Everybody brings their boxes of honey, and we just have a big decamping party. And at the end, we have a kind of a late lunch provided by the guild. And it helps get all the new people who don't understand. They you know, technically they've been through the course, they've read the book and whatnot. They don't have any hands-on experience at decapping and slinging honey in a what are those things called?
Extractor.
Thank you, the round thing, extractors. And so they get to play with the equipment. And actually, if you have a lot of honey, it's pretty good because you get all these newbies who are so excited who come and they decap all your honey for you.
Yeah.
And they put it and they extract it and they're doing everything for you and you're just kind of directing it, you know, but they're getting the hands-on experience. They get to do it. And then you get to take your honey home in a, you know, a food grade plastic tub. And you can do what you want to with it. And, you know, it just works out as a kind of a win-win for everybody. We have a great time. And we had like 100, 150 people there yesterday, a little crowded in a small space. But we got it done, and everybody learned something, got the equipment cleaned up. And took us a while, but we got everything done, full day. But it was a great time.
Wow, cool. Yeah, I'm lucky if I can get anyone to help me with the honey. Boy, what a job.
Well, it's not quite like... doing the maple syrup, though. At least with the maple syrup, where with the honey, the bees are doing all the evaporating for you.
Yeah.
With the maple syrup, you got to do your own evaporation. By the way, I really appreciate a package that arrived in the mail yesterday. It had a wonderful jar of the most golden honey I've ever seen in my life that said Brooklyn on the top of it, and a jar of a nice smoky maple syrup. And I really appreciate that, Eric. Thank you very much.
That's your yearly salary for working on Garden Fork.
Well, I noticed I got a bonus of five linoleum-printed dog cards.
Yeah, a little block greeting printed, cards.
Block-printed cards, yeah. And so I appreciate that as well. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being on the show. You're like the tireless worker that works for free.
Well, you know, I learn something every time I do this, and it's you know, it's good to help people out. One of the things that's wonderful about the Garden Fork question and answer group, which is on Facebook, is this time of year everybody is helping everyone else out. There have been a lot of pictures of, you know, help, and this is on my plant, what do I do? Or help, this is what my leaf looks like, what do I do? And people are tossing in, you know, they're like, it turns out everyone on Garden Fork, it's kind of like being a beekeeper. You know, you have one question, you get four answers from beekeepers. Well, it's kind of the same way with this, but at least you get some options of, you know, oh, that looks like, you know, this kind of lice, or, you know, you need more sunlight, or you need more, you have too much nitrogen, you know, that kind of thing. And so people are really helping out.
It's great. Yeah, if you go to Facebook, just type in Garden Fork Discussion Group. It should come up. And I'll link to it in the show notes of this podcast here.
Yeah, it is a closed group, but the only we only do that to keep the spammers out. And so
yeah, just ask to join and we'll let you in. So
yeah, it helps if you have something that looks like dogs or gardening or some sort of interest that's in line with the group when we kind of look at your profile. That makes it go faster. If you only have one picture and a bunch of spam up there, even though you might be a real person, you're not going to get into the group.
By the way, over on the Root Simple podcast, Erin from The Impatient Gardener, she was a guest on the Root Simple podcast, and that was really good. She was talking about doing soil samples throughout the garden, not just one soil sample and sending it in, but she did soil samples throughout her yard. It was very interesting what she learned from that.
Wow. Yeah, that's something they teach us. Now, does she do one soil sample does she mix them all together and send it in with one sample, or does she
No, she does individual samples.
Individual samples, and yeah. Wow. Well, it's always interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, it was. So if you go to rootsimple.com, click on the podcast heading there, you can listen to her. Or they're on iTunes as well. So Root Simple, just type it in.
You know, I found something where you and I have something in common.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's clothes dryer vents. I extended our clothes dryer vent, and it was kind of a high-tech thing. I put in a new lint box that went through the wall into the garage, and then a booster pump that's built for this that actually sucks the air down the vent pipe, and it's a fairly long run, maybe 15, 20 feet, and then to the outside. And so I built that, and it took a little while to get it all set up, but it works like a champ. But you have been doing something that I would have had to do if I hadn't replaced everything in this dryer system. Tell me what you did.
Well, we made a video. I was at my sister's house, and her dryer, she said, my towels take a really long time to dry. I said, your vent's clogged. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. So we went to the Blue Store and got a dryer vent cleaning tool, which looks like a
chimney sweep.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. That's the good kind. And by the way, the one we had was it just uncoiled. It was all one solid piece of wire, which I thought works better than the ones where you have to screw the lengths together.
Particularly when it comes to turning corners.
Yeah, and we cleaned out our whole dryer vent thing, and we made a video about it, which is on our YouTube channel. And it did make a significant difference in the drying time. And also, that's a potential for starting fires as well, so it's always good to clean your vents out. The Labradors are about to come in the door, and there'll be some noise, just so you all know.
Oh, I think we know what the dogs sound like by now.
They're staring at me through the screen door. So.
You know, one of the things that really impressed me, though, about the clothes drying video that's on YouTube is the comments below it, things I had not thought about, like gather up all that lint, don't throw it away. And one of them was stick it in toilet paper tubes and fill it, and you can use it for bee smoker fuel.
Yeah. I was curious about that, because my one thought was, if you're just doing cotton fabrics, that's fine. But if you're doing like polyesters or something, the lint is basically plastic. So you wouldn't want to put that in a bee smoker.
Does polyester lint, I mean, does it come off like that?
I don't know.
I thought that was just a feature of natural fibers like cotton.
I could be totally wrong. Someone is talking back to the podcast right now and knows the answer. Some scientist like Tony or someone is talking back to the podcast right now.
Yelling at his radio.
Radio@gardenfork.tv is our email address. So let us know about that. You can also use it for nesting material for birds. You can put it out in the early spring, late winter, early spring, and there are some birds that will use it as a nesting material. You take all the lint, put it in like an onion storage bag, which is that kind of netting bag, and hang it on a tree, and they'll go pick at it, and they'll line their nest with it.
Yeah, we do that with terrier fur too. Our terriers have a double coat. There's a coarse outer coat and a very soft, fluffy inner coat.
Yeah,
and we have a special device, a comb that strips the lower fluffy stuff off, and we'll put it into a net and let the birds get it. Now, if you're still using the kind of tick and flea stuff that you dip onto the back of the dog's neck, then maybe that's not such a good idea, because it leaves those oils on the fur. But we have switched to a new edible tick and flea. I think it's called Bravia.
Oh, yeah, but I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive, but, you know, you only use it once every quarter, and it doesn't, it shouldn't make the coat somewhat hazardous to the birds, because birds are having a hard enough time. They're like the pollinators.
Yeah. Speaking of tick bites, I just found out this morning but one of my neighbors who lives alone, one of the other neighbors had not heard from them in a day or so they went over and found, is an elderly gentleman, and found him kind of doubled over in his rocking chair. And at first he thought maybe he had too much to drink, you know. And then on second thought, they called, it was consensus to call the ambulance. And the EMTs, volunteer EMTs, which we have the big thank you for them, came and they took him to the hospital, and he ended up in intensive care, and they figured out that he had a tick bite and was infected with some sort of bad thing from the tick bite, to the point that he almost passed away from it.
Oh, dude. Well, I hear Lyme disease is on the move in your part of the country too.
Yeah, the ticks are bad. It was a very mild winter, so the ticks are bad.
Yeah. You know, I heard a great podcast the other day, and they're talking about releasing a bunch of, people are going to hate this, but genetically modified mice onto Nantucket and what's the other island out there?
Cape Cod or?
Cape Cod. Well, no, the island. Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
The Lyme disease has become just an endemic problem there for the citizens and whatnot. And they have figured out that they could release all these, I mean, like, and this is a big number, like 100,000 mice onto Nantucket and in Martha's Vineyard. And because the mice are a necessary vector for Lyme disease.
Right.
They could stop the spread of the disease on the islands. And they're it's still many years away, maybe a decade away. And they're negotiating with the people on the island. People have to vote for it and that kind of thing. But I thought it was an interesting use of GM that you don't hear much about. Of course, Frankenmouse is all over the, who knows how that turns out. But they have ways of limiting genes and whatnot that, you know, I don't know how else you're going to get a hold of problems like endemic Lyme disease. Although they do have a vaccine for dogs, and they're coming up with a vaccine for humans, and so maybe just a shot would be a better way to go.
Huh. Who knew? Well, we'd like to hear your thoughts about all these things that we talked about today. This is is eclectic casual.
Eric.
What?
You said who knew? I knew.
I know. All right. So I think probably people are at their destination.
I hope so.
You're pulling into your parking spot, getting ready to go to work. Remember to take your coffee cup in with you so it doesn't get too warm in the car. We have a video about making iced coffee if you want to learn how to make iced coffee, by the way. So,
you know, I only drink iced coffee right now.
Yeah. So radio@gardenfork.tv is our address. It's always great to hear from you all. And if you want to take a minute to write a review on iTunes, that helps us as well. So thank you, Rick. Thanks for taking the time here.
Oh, and thank you for the wonderful honey and the maple syrup and the cards. And it's been a pleasure as always.
All right. So make it a great day, everyone. We'll see you later.
Talk to you later, my friend. Bye-bye.